back here on Analyze This. The Table Talk is in effect. Before we get back to that, let me do some programming notes for tonight. We got PBS NewsHour from 7 to 8 p.m. Comes with the Territory with Leslie Comisión from 8 to 9. Antiques Roadshow from 9 to 10. Explore treasures found at Head to Stan Hewitt Hall and Gardens in Akron, Ohio. Of course, you know, Akron, Ohio is where two great NBA legends were born. LeBron James and Steph Curry were both born in Akron, Ohio. At 10 p.m., Lydia Celebrates America, explore inspiring stories of first, second, and third generation Americans. And then I'm Emporium Company at 11 p.m. to midnight. Okay, so that's the news. How at 7, Comes to the Territory at 8, Antiques Roadshow at 9, Lydia Celebrates America at 10, and I'm Emporium Company at 11 to midnight. We're joined this morning in the studio by Executive Director Carlton Aitel-Dow. The Port Authority is venturing out with a P3 deal, and we're getting all the details for that. But before we do, we'll do our quorum call like we always do. From St. John, the one and only Mr. Ranking Member, Armando Rocky Laybaud, 8 terms as a senator at large in the Virgin Islands Legislature, 2 stints as president, 21st Legislature, 95-96. And the 24th Legislature, 2001-2002. Good morning, Mr. President. How are you?
Good morning. Good morning, Mr. President. And good morning to the listening audience, the Table Talk guys, and, of course, our former colleague, Senator Dow, Director Dow.
That's what I'm talking about. And from the island of St. Thomas de Handel, Mr. Majority Leader, Donald Dusko, he served 3 terms in the legislature, most recently in the 30th. Leading all of them newbies that came in with you in 2011 and 12. Good morning, Senator Cole. Glad to have you on.
President, please.
Josh Goodwin. Josh Goodwin lives forever. And, of course, here in the studio, 5-term senator and now the executive director for the Virgin Islands Port Authority, Director Carlton Aitel-Dow. Good morning, sir. Glad to have you in the studio. Good
morning. It's a pleasure to be here.
Without the doubt. So we got quorum. Right?
Imagine Del White's up texting me and telling me how come they say he present too.
and Docs, White done sending text messages and all kind of thing
White is one of the board members down there. So
yeah.
I expect nothing less.
Yeah.
You know,
thank you very much. Yeah, he's just looking out for you, boy. I tell Dow. He's a board member, so he got a clock on here as well. So that's that's what's going on there. Rocky, you asked a question about the best case scenario. I mean, the worst case scenario, and I think Director Dow answered that to the extent that. If the worst case scenario is realized, we are in a position to do things.
Correct. We still own the property.
Yeah,
so
okay.
If somebody starts, like they start to build a system, but it stop. We still own the property, so we can go on from there. That's, you know, but we see, and the reason we chose, the board and so forth, is because we figure we have a very good, strong product in terms of what the upsides are. And I started to enumerate some of those things. You know, they could start construction and go bankrupt. We own a product. One of the things that we did also with this whole process, before we started, and I tell you, we have the experts in this business. They did LaGuardia, they did JFK, they did all major airports. But here's the
thing. Consultants.
Yeah. Here's part of what we were able to get as an agreement. We paying for work. So in other words, it boiled down to 2 companies. And we know at the end of the day, the Port Authority pays the losing company a fee. Because to get to this point, they would have had to expend $1 million+ to get to this point with a design. So now we pay the loser a percent. Hey, we're going to pay you a percent so you didn't put all your money in vain.
Yeah.
But at the same time, the Port Authority now owns their work. So all the work that they had done.
That's a benefit.
A big benefit.
Yeah.
And part of what we can do in the agreement is we could, if we like a particular part,
a component
of what the loser had, we can incorporate that now.
Yeah, that's good.
So that was a big deal.
That's good.
We could incorporate that into what we do.
So that's a part of the. What about the timeline leading to the best case scenario being realized?
Well, we want. I don't have a lot of patience with stuff like this. Mm-hmm. If all goes well, we believe that probably by summer of 25, we could see shoveling the ground, construction start.
Okay.
That's our, providing nothing goes, you know, awry.
Okay.
Now, the board still exists.
Yeah, I was going to ask that question. Because now that we're transitioning from complete board control and authority at the airport to now we're getting into a P3 agreement, what's the role of the board, the Port Authority,
right,
going forward once this project is realized?
Okay. There's some safeguards in there. For example, the board still exists because the P3 partner could only do what's within the scope of the agreement.
So this agreement removes the Port Authority from its managerial, its day-to-day operation.
But not the oversight of what takes place.
And it's just limited to the airport.
Correct.
You still got other facilities that you're in charge of and all that stuff.
So, and again, that only has to do with within the fence lines. The Port Authority still have a lot of property outside the fence line that's considered aviation.
Mm-hmm.
A classic example is Bourne Field, Limburg Beach, the whole area by the beach, the Emerald Beach Hotel, all of those belongs to the Port Authority, and they are considered aviation property.
Okay.
So what we're talking about is inside the fence line of the airport. In St. Croix, we have 400 acres across the street. That's a whole other agreement would have to be had. So, but what I want to make sure we understand, we, the Port Authority, still have our accounting department that has to exist because it's staying on the dollars and cents at the end of the day.
Mm-hmm.
We still have billing to do. For example, the police department remains with the Port Authority because they have their relationship to the territory and also to the marine area. So they are, you know, operational type things. For example, they couldn't decide that, they can't decide, well, we want to close up our entire building because we want to add something. So there's certain built-in authorization the governing board will still have to give to these folks if they want to do any major change or, you know, of this sort. Yeah.
Additional question, Doc School.
Yes.
I think Rocky had a follow-up. Yeah, Rocky, the follow-up. Go ahead.
Yes. I listened to Dr. Dow. This is my concern with the with this project. I think it's a good idea. It's great. But my concern is this. It seems as though we have what should I say? Usually when governors take over, they have a reorganization of structure of government. This seems like the structure of Port Authority has now been reorganized. The question for me is that if the Port Authority is reorganized, what role does the legislature play in that? Because it seems like it's reorganized without them. It seems like they have no say. How could a governing board have make all of these say without the main branch, the first branch of government, having a say in terms of whether it's okay or it's not okay? I maybe you haven't already, but I don't know, because based on what Dr. Dow was saying, it's going to be two entities, though. An entity with P3 plus, the entity is going to be, there's another entity that's going to take care of all of the other marine facilities, like the docks and all of that. That's what it sounds like to me. If I'm wrong, correct me.
Yeah,
Before you respond, one of my listeners had asked me, will the P3 partners have any seats on the board? And my response to them was, the Port Authority is a legislative creation. Right? So, this is a managerial agreement.
It's an agreement that
the Port Authority is entering into?
Correct. It's a long-term lease that we'll enter into.
Yeah.
So, the Port Authority remains...
As is?
Basically...
From a board standpoint.
Yes, the board's still in place because, like I explained to you, they cannot... There's certain policies that we have negotiated and we continue to negotiate that would be that of the manager. They're running a day-to-day operation, the new managers, right?
Mm-hmm.
Take, for instance, tropical shipping. They don't own the dock. They don't own the water. They don't own the port. We give them a long-term lease. They operate their own. They do their own thing. Except that they, let's say if Tropical Shipping don't want to expand or do something, they cannot do it without coming back to the authority, which governing board have to authorize it or not.
So to answer the question, right, definitively, the powers that are vested in the boards of the Port Authority by the legislature still exist
exactly.
as is.
Exactly, because...
For all aviation and marine.
Take, for instance,
yeah.
if a central government entity wants to do something in from a financial standpoint, if the government borrows money all the time,
yeah.
right? They go through the Public Finance Authority for that.
Yeah.
That's by statute. Now, the Port Authority, when the legislature created the authority, it gave them certain rights and authority to manage their own affairs.
To include bonding and all that stuff.
We go to the bond market, yeah. and like the central government, we don't have to get legislative approval to go borrow money.
Okay.
The central government couldn't go and borrow money.
You realize that today you're pretty much telling the public how powerful the Port Authority is.
Well,
for those who may not know. I'm serious. This is education, so I'm good with this.
The law provided, and you know why?
Yeah. PFA, Port Authority, GRS, the works goes on.
Listen,
and on.
The reason, and let's be. I've been a senator too.
Yeah.
I had the discussions with senators. Yeah. When we met first, I remember, you know, talking with Cordvili and Saru and Fred Gregory and all of them were like, hey, what role are we playing?
Yeah.
You know?
And that's a legitimate question.
Exactly. It wasn't no pushback or anything. No. And we wanted their concerns. But when they created the authority, they said you could go out and raise capital.
Yeah.
You could go out and borrow money.
No. We're good with that. That's why this NPR station going to Doug School now is so valuable, because what may have been speculated.
Hold on,
I want to wrap up this comment. What may have been speculated and unknown, right, and not provided at other stations, that's the purpose that we have here at this NPR station, to educate the public.
In
this case, we're talking about structure and statutes as it relates to the VI code.
Let me tell you something, what happened as a result of what, I mean, I wouldn't say as a result.
Yeah.
But she had the idea probably before. Mm-hmm. Senator Maurice James.
Mm-hmm.
When we met with them and discussing with them, she says, you know what? I'm working on something kind of similar, because there must be specific guidelines set as to how an entity could borrow money or whatever they're going to do.
Mm-hmm.
Or she was saying
What you say entity, she means like a port
government.
Authority.
And how, for example, the rebuilding of the schools. She thought that, she said, you know, this Petri thing ain't a bad thing. Let's see. So she brought legislation. And most of what she have in her legislation too, that you have to do this, you have to do whatever, is codified, and that's what we report. But she thought it ought to be broad for the entire government.
Okay. So a mirror type
so
approach.
Correct.
Yeah. Okay.
So as a result, and it was communication. I would say this here to my colleagues, with no disrespect. Mm-hmm. No disrespect at all. There's a reason why when the legislature created the authority, they gave them these things. You could imagine now, if in fact we had to go into some heap of debate as to whether we're going to do this do it.
So basically what you're saying is, we want to thank the forefathers, the previous senators for exercising vision. Rocky, you wanted to crystallize this?
The last thing was this, you know, all these companies coming, how are we going to look at the companies in terms of employment for our community? Not just employees on the airport, but persons who are looking for work, what's the employment, what's it going to look like? That's what I want to know.
Well, just like I started out, the entire community is going to benefit from several things, because I told you already, most people, 70% of what we will spend comes from tourism. The gateway to bring them here is through our airport, and let's speak to the airport now. But the way they are going to grow, in order to get their rate of return, they have to grow. They have to bring other airlines in here. It means goods and services, food, restaurateurs, and so forth would increase. The amenities, we're going to be, going to at least two floors in St. Thomas. We're going to be spreading out St. Croix some more. That logistical. So the construction is going to be ongoing.
Mm-hmm.
But one of the key components is these facilities have to be maintained. And it's going to be contractors, subcontractors from the territory who maintaining them. And there's a misnomer. And I want to be clear.
There's a Virgin Islands business benefit outside of the airport itself in terms of travel. We talk the maintenance component. That's Virgin Islands companies.
Correct. Yeah. And it costs them more money to bring people in here
to transition to put them people, up. I agree.
So the growth. When you see more growth, it's best for everybody.
Without a doubt.
We want to get the cargo operation in St. Croix really in a big way. I'll tell you, the Port Authority did reach out to Amazon. I'll tell you that much.
Okay.
You know, because we believe we could be that hub for the other Caribbean. It's nothing new.
And we have the
capacity in St. Croix.
We got the free zone legislation, right? As well. Yeah. Does coal come in?
Yeah, well, I've been listening and it seems as though that Director Dow and his staff ran the gamut in terms of getting all of these consultants and making it palatable to get a company.
Song and go there. gamut and palatable. Go ahead, man. You're on a roll.
To come into the territory, right?
Yeah.
And going to invest over $300 million in this economy here in the Virgin Islands. Mm-hmm. Now, transshipment, and the senator touched on it, and I was going to go to it. How is that incorporated, if you can expand on it, into transshipment? Because we've been speaking about a transshipment port.
From when you and Dow first went in 1999 and 2001, from back then.
I can tell you.
Governor Snyder said he was going to do it until they throw you out.
Mm-hmm.
And since then, I hear nothing but a transshipment. Because of the length of the airstrip in St. Croix, like Neville believe that we can't get that over here.
Hey, check this out, right? 10,300 feet, man. That's my number for the week, man. 10,300 feet.
So utilizing that international airport for cargo transshipment throughout, just like tropical shipping that go throughout the Caribbean. And I think, I don't know, though, he might know that they have a point here where they ship from here probably to St. Kitts and all of that. How does the management team of the people who are investing look into that, if you have any knowledge?
Well, clearly, their future growth is all of that. When they were doing their it's about 2 years this thing was in process. So they had to be doing the due diligence to see what the future could hold for them. And you're correct. The growth that we expect to see as a result is real. When you look at, you go to any place, you see the amount of people walking around, whether the airports. But you touch on something and you talk about the transshipment. And I always tell people, I credit the staff that I've surrounded myself with. Sometimes they'll tell me, you're always putting a dream team together. I believe in that.
Mm-hmm.
Trying to get, because Carlton Dow can't do it by himself. So now, we did an agreement.
Before you go there, we'll pick it up with the agreement that you had, right? Analyze this. We got the Table Talk members here, Rocky Leibold and Doug Scott. We'll take a break, come back and talk about an agreement that the Port Authority entered into with Executive Director Carlton. They'll be back right after this.
Bank of St. Croix has something for everyone. With two locations, the Bank of St. Croix provides personal and business checking accounts, online banking, and mobile apps for banking on the go, a nonprofit community investment checking account, and a 24-hour banking cash management platform. Bank of St. Croix Gallows Bay, Bank of St. Croix Peters Rest, and online, bankofstcroix.com. For details about our nonprofit community investment checking account, our service specialists are ready to help. Bank of St. Croix, member FDIC.
Hi, I'm Peter Sagal. You spent the week listening to the news. Don't you think you deserve to show off what you've learned on Wait, we give you a chance to impress your friends with your knowledge of international incidents, political gaffes, and the latest advancement in German nudists. You'll be the life of the party, or the death. Either way, you'll make an impression and you can thank Wait, Don't Tell Me from NPR.
Saturdays at 1 p.m. and Sundays at 2 p.m. right here on WTJX FM 93.1, your NPR station in the Virgin Islands.
Sometimes you need a moment to just step back, relax, and listen to your favorite song. I'm Raina Duris, and on the next World Cafe, maybe I can help you find something new to love, or maybe remind you of something you've been missing. There's so much music out there to enjoy, so take a moment, take a breath, and tune in to World Cafe.
Weekdays at 10 p.m. on WTJX FM 93.1.
So I spent the past year trying to figure out what news designed for 21st century humans might look like. One of the things that really stuck with me was that we now know that humans actually need hope to get up in the morning. And I don't think as a journalist I ever thought about it that way.
We're always looking for new and better ways to understand the world we live in. That's On Point with me, Meghna Chakrabarty.
Weekdays at 1 p.m. on WTJX FM 93.1, your NPR station in the Virgin Islands.
And we're back here and analyze this. Great discussion on the table talk. We got executive director from the Virgin Islands Port Authority, former senator, Carlton Aiteldo, joining us here in the studio. And on the lines, we got the ranking member, Armando Rakilaybod, and the handle out of St. Thomas, Donald Duskull. You're going to reference an agreement that you have in place with the part of the P3 deal?
No.
Or this is an agreement with AECON?
No. I'm talking about a different structure, a different agreement.
A different agreement, right? Okay.
So the Port Authority had leased with Tropical Shipping and with Crowley in St. Mm-hmm. Thomas.
Mm-hmm.
There was talk at some point that Crowley had started to downsize, they were going to pull out, right? That's real discussion were being had.
That's O'Neill, right?
He's their representative.
He's their agent.
As a matter of fact, Crowley since now have started to quietly handle their own things in St. Croix.
But that's a different discussion.
Correct. Here where I'm going with this.
Mm-hmm.
It's because we were persistent and were able to go to Crowley and the tropicals of the world, to their headquarters outside of this territory,
mm-hmm.
sit with them and show them a blueprint of where we were going. Today, that container port building that we rebuilt it down by the Wilfred Bumba Alec mm-hmm. facility,
mm-hmm.
bigger than it was. Tropical have now signed on to, it's 10 bays in there. Tropical alone has signed on to lease 5 of those bays.
50% of the capacity.
So that's telling you, as a company do their homework, that they expect to see real growth in this region. Mm. Now,
and they recognize an investment on behalf of the Virgin Islands.
As a result of what we did with this P3, the major companies now who didn't have an eye, this thing is worldwide news.
So do you talk? This is in response to Doc's question.
Correct.
Piggybacking on that.
And what Rocky said in terms of the future.
The future, okay.
So now, mm-hmm. The federal government, and this we're talking about public-private partnership. So we applied for a grant many years ago to try to rebuild the area there by Tropical in St. Thomas,
mm-hmm.
right? It's deteriorated. Same in St. Croix. We failed twice when we submitted our grant. And we instituted, because politics have a role to play as well. So we went ahead now, engaged with Tropical Shipping, engaged with Crowley. They brought some expertise to the table, coupled with our employees. We applied with them and we had failed. The third time, we got a grant now for $21 million to rebuild bulkhead in St. Thomas.
Mm-hmm.
However, here's the caveat. The matching fund required for that was $5.7 million.
That's similar to like Tiger?
Right.
Yeah.
It's a Department of Transportation grant.
Yeah.
So with the Port Authority having to come up with $5.7 million, we're like, oh, wow. You know?
Mm-hmm.
We went back to Tropical.
5.7 in addition to the 21?
Correct.
Okay.
So we went back to Tropical and said, look.
We ain't got it like that.
We have it like that.
Yeah.
So here's what we could do. We could give you more time on your lease that you could recoup. But we need both of you, you and Crowley, to get together. If this, our port, so valuable to you, and in true spirit of partnership, you front the money for us. And you know what? We had staff saying, you think these people going to do that? They did. They are the one who paid $5.7 million of the match.
A joint commitment on both of them.
Both of them.
Yeah.
So in order for to get their money back to, they got to know that, hey, Miss Anui, they have a long-term stake now. And they could sell, but they have a long-term stake. Mm-hmm. And guess what? In St. Croix, we ran into the same thing. We just got a grant in St. Croix. $22 million to rebuild, do some work done by the Bomber Alec is in terrible condition. That will require a match. Tropical decide that we talk to them. We've developed strong relationships. We went to them and tell them, hey, you just did a St. Thomas man. And so they decide to do it again. But they're going it themselves.
It's a solo venture with this one.
Correct.
Okay.
But Crowley now have taken up some more office space. Yeah. Now he's competitors.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But
yeah.
My point is.
So the St. Thomas was a joint deal with Crowley and Tropical. The St. Croix deal is a solo venture with Tropical.
Tropical, Jennifer Nugent Hill, we meet with them all the time. Mm-hmm. And they were saying, look, we're going to work with you guys. We give them more time extension, it's a win-win.
It's negotiated.
But now, what we see, as we the ink ain't dry good on this announcement, there are companies, major companies, you know, it sent a signal to the world that we're open for business. That's what this has done.
That's cool. You like that answer? Or?
Of course I like that answer because it's forward thinking we're talking about.
When you mention the name, I like that one, Jennifer Nugent Hill, right? Yeah.
Jennifer Nugent Hill is an anchor in Tropical Shipping.
Mm-hmm.
So she knows the territory and she has been in there and she knows what's going on. So that collaboration, I understand what it is. So it's awesome.
Mm-hmm. Rocky, we could get unanimous support for what we just heard, man, because I like it.
Listen, I like what he's saying, but I'm hoping that he will talk to some of his colleagues higher ups. Because we need a kind of negotiation for WAPA.
Rocky, that's to me, right? That's boilerplate approach, right? In order for me to get something from you, I got to give you something as well. You know what I'm saying? So you give me that cash now, I could extend your situation, your landscape a little bit longer. And that's business, Doc School.
Yeah, let me tell you.
You know,
let me just say something else. And I continue to underscore. I meet with my manager.
Were you always this great negotiator, or did you learn as you go? Yeah.
What I've done, I tell you. Yeah, thanks, Docs, and White and everybody else. Yeah. But what we do though, history and experience. Well, experience matters.
Yeah.
And what has happened, and I see it all the time.
Yeah.
Because another situation will happen to us, right? You know, Neville. When you go to St. Thomas, when you go into that airport, you can't park, no place.
Mm-hmm.
It's a problem. Mm-hmm. We saw the problem. How are we going to fix it? The Port Authority applied for an EDA grant. EDA provided $20 million. They say, we would give
you... You're talking about the U.S. Economic Development Authority.
Correct.
You make that distinction now.
Correct. Yeah, yeah. Sorry. Yeah. Well, you know, you heard that for the game. Yeah, you're correct. You're correct.
Yeah, yeah,
so
yeah.
So when they give the $20 million, they authorized $20 million contingent that you could now find another $9+ million to do it. You can't get a 20 till you show them in a bank your 9.
Mm-hmm.
I was out at the authority for a minute, came back in.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
We're rocking it, trying to figure it out. I call my CFO again, Fred Gregory, Senator Fred Gregory, Ava Penn. These people are bright people.
Mm-hmm.
And Dale Gregory at the time, who the transportation center named after, and ask them, you give me some feedback. And all of us travel to Miami, New Atlanta, and so forth. Sun Devil Stadium in Tempe, Arizona, had cost $300 million to build. And you know how they built it? When I saw that, that's what gave me the impetus to say, you know what? Everybody that rent a car coming into the airport, they'll pay $2 per day per rental.
And into the Phoenix airport.
That's what they did in Phoenix.
Yeah.
I took that same model, brought it here. First, with me, the help of my colleagues, many of them supported it, many of them were sponsors. The first time I did that was for the Department of Education.
Mm-hmm.
$3 off the rental car goes to the Department of Education. I carried that same principle at the port. But it was a fight.
Yeah.
Of course, the car rental...
So how you generate an email?
Well, that's what I'm telling you.
Yeah.
The car rental, I'm telling you, we ain't paying nothing, things bad.
Yeah.
We met with them. We had a discussion with them. We showed them the benefits. This is going to benefit you as well. Mm-hmm. And we show it to them. Ultimately, the car rental companies in St. Thomas. And they were the biggest, you know, part of it.
Challenge.
They came around, and it's in our policy today. So we collected an excess of $4 million that we were able to put towards the transportation center, mm-hmm. utilizing the car rental fee. And then the balance came from our operating budget. So that's how we were able to do that. We would have been stuck like whip and we get the $10 million from. But they, sorry to tell you, the companies in St. Croix, you didn't have a lot of them at the airport. They, you know, they didn't want to do it. Mm-hmm. They pushed back big time.
But we don't have the traffic.
Yeah,
I mean,
that's why.
Let's just be candid about that.
That's what
we don't have the traffic in St. Croix.
And so today, it's not a part of St. Croix.
I mean, it's more beautiful. Don't get me wrong. You know what I'm saying? But we don't have the traffic. You know what I'm saying? I just call it
speed. That's why we went hard at those, I hate to say it, in St. Thomas, because we know what kind of money they're making.
There's one question I want to ask you. Right? Before you leave, we're going to wrap this up in about 5 or 7 minutes. I want to go back to 911. All three of you were senators at that point, 21st legislature, 24th legislature, right? Doug Skoll, Rocky, yes. And yourself.
Yeah.
One of the things that we noticed in the aftermath of 911 was private jets coming into specifically St. Thomas. You were a senator then. Now the prism has flipped for you, right? You're actually into managing down there as well. Do we still have that attractivity on the private center and the private sector side with Port Authority, with all these non-commercial jets, these private jets, and all that stuff? It was so voluminous back then that they couldn't even park some of the planes. They had to land, drop the folks off, and then bring the plane to St. Croix because over there was filled to capacity. Yeah. What's the deal with folks coming in with private jets, jet center, and all that stuff? We still attractive?
It's very attractive. As a matter of fact, that's why in St. Thomas, the biggest freestanding hangar in the Eastern Caribbean is in St. Thomas.
Awesome.
That's a new Standard Aviation. That where Standard Aviation building is today.
You said the Eastern Caribbean or not?
Eastern Caribbean.
Oh, wow.
Freestanding.
Mm-hmm.
Where Standard Aviation is now today, that private jet company,
mm-hmm.
that used to be an old hangar. If it drizzled now with rain, our maintenance people was in that building. We put out the RFP. Get with the board, tell them, let's put out the RFP. That was sitting on proper primary airport property, and we had our maintenance department in there. Not saying they're not important, but they were sitting on the runway.
Mm-hmm.
So we said, we put out the RFP for anybody who would rebuild that building for a private hangar, but in exchange, they have to build a building for us, what we now name the Babucana Maintenance Building in St. Thomas.
Mm-hmm.
So we had the gentleman, Mr. Sean Miller, he took us up, he built the building, but guess what? And we had it turnkey. He had to complete the building, and all our maintenance people had to do is move in. You go now, a beautiful building, so he get the benefit of a long-term lease, and he spent in excess of $1 million and change.
This is proximity to the main terminal. Which way? South or?
This is on the Bournefield property.
On the Bournefield. Oh, on the northern side.
Correct.
The north side. Okay, where the jet center?
Correct. Yeah. Opposite the road.
Yeah.
So the Babucana maintenance building was built there. That's how that got built.
Okay.
The port didn't put up no money to do that.
More negotiations again.
And just like we in St. Croix, we've been working very closely with Bulky.
Mm-hmm.
Bulky continued to expand in leaps and bounds. And it's because of different relationship and giving them opportunities for growth. The Port Authority will give the opportunity for growth,
mm-hmm.
but at the same time, we benefit as well.
As well. Final question from you, Docs, and then a final question from Rocky. We got 4 minutes left.
Okay, I just wanted to, Rocky had mentioned earlier about tenure and government change and all of that. And what you're laying down at this point in time, Senator Dow, and laying out for the Port Authority, in the event of political turmoil and you are removed from the Port Authority like you were at one point in time, how does this plan continue to go forward? Because what I see here is get it done, though, moving forward and getting these things done. Do you see that? What happens to this project in the event you're no longer there?
Well, that's where we have to be aggressive and start what I can get started, because truth be told, that had happened. When I left Sutton, you know, the only good thing, is that a good thing?
I want Duff Taylor, I want Duff School Act. You got succession planning as part of your deal, because one of the biggest problems in Virgin Islands is people believe they become inexpendable and they could stay there forever.
No, so, not at all. I don't expect that at all.
So you're developing young talent, man?
Listen, right now in St. Croix, I have two brand new brilliant engineers directly out of school. Mm-hmm. We hired them as they graduated, one from FAMU.
That's what you're talking about.
Positive Nelson's son.
Yeah.
He came to us as a summer student.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, since we're all in the politics, you know what? When his father called me and said, hey, I'm looking at a summer thing for my son. Yeah. You know what positive prefaced it with?
What?
He said, Lord, I must say, I know we used to war. I said, positive. I said, positive, that have nothing to do with your son.
Yeah.
And he came over, he worked for the summer.
That boy, though, he was salutatorian in high school, kind of thing.
He worked with us for the summer.
You mean Tariq or Tariq or something?
Tafari.
Tafari, yeah.
So he worked with us for the summer.
Yeah.
Then went to UVA and do the 3-2 program.
Yeah, yeah.
2 years UVA.
Yeah.
And before he left as a summer student with us and going to UVA, I said to him, you complete school.
And check me.
And you have a job.
Wow.
This youngster took me to my word. The week he was graduating, he put in a phone call and said, Mr. Dow, I'm graduating next week. I'm thinking about whether I'm going to stay up here or what. I said, no. You get ready to come home.
Mm-hmm.
And the same thing we would have done for a stranger.
Yeah.
We pay his moving expenses back home. Mm-hmm. Although he was coming home.
Yeah.
We brought him back home right out of school. A brilliant young man.
So the answer is yes.
So the answer, I have two others now. I have a young man goes by the name of Mo. He just with us a few months.
Mm-hmm.
He just graduated too with an engineering degree. He is from St. Croix. Mm-hmm. We brought him back home.
Mm-hmm.
I have another youngster in St. Thomas who is an intern in engineering. So yes, I want to lay a groundwork that I can leave, and I know that we have strong, competent people, and I would not be afraid. We have some strong folks.
I would not be afraid, and I feel comfortable. You didn't just answer a question. You gave tangible, real-life, biological examples. That's good.
I would walk away from it.
Rocky, final question. We got a minute and change.
Yeah. Well, lastly, let me process that. Director Dahl wouldn't tell you that a lot of his skills came from the 24th
legislature. I like that one.
We had to negotiate every day.
No, but Rocky, I believe you, because he was a wet behind the ear freshman in the 24th legislature.
Yeah. Wet behind the ear.
And I still move basement. I was able to move with the help because I understand politics is the art of compromise. Roosevelt David.
We had
a plan. Let me give this quick one.
Yeah.
We had a plan that nobody in the minority getting anything passed.
I know about that.
So Roosevelt had a thing where he wanted to give, like, under EDA, you could get a $50 unsecured loan.
Yeah, the micro loan.
I thought it was a good thing. Yeah. So although we left downstairs in our war room saying, they gets nothing.
Yeah,
when Roosevelt brought it to the table, I go to my colleagues and say, whether he's a majority or minority,
Rocky,
he's going to help the people.
Rocky, anytime I be in a legislature and I had a gun and I kill all the people. Yeah. Hold on. I'm going to bring you back for a minute or two after the break. I know we got hospitality here and analyze this. Okay, so I'm going to run you out now. We'll take a break and we'll be back right after this.
PBS NewsHour has a rich legacy of in-depth reporting and strong storytelling.
Only four people have sat in that chair before us, and the enormity of this moment is not lost on me. People turn to us because they know they can hear from trusted sources of information and news.
That won't change a bit, even as the faces behind the desk change.
Good evening. I'm Jeff Bennett.
And I'm Amna Nawaz.
Weekdays at 7 p.m. on WTJX TV, Channel 12.
Race is complicated. On Code Switch, we don't dumb it down for you.
And on Life Kit, we have advice on everything from money to mental health.
It's Code Switch and Life Kit from NPR.
Saturdays at 2 p.m. on WTJX FM.
I love this song!
I
love nachos.
Loving everything? You might be buzzed.
You know what I'd love? A ride when it's time to head out.
If you see a buzz warning sign, call for a ride when it's time to go home. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
As the news gets more complex and changes through the day, you need more than just a quick headline check. Here and Now keeps you connected to your world between Morning Edition and All Things Considered, as the news and the people shaping it are changing in real time. I'm Robin Young. Follow along on Here and Now, NPR News weekday afternoons.
From 2 to 4 on WTJX FM, your NPR station in the Virgin Islands.
I am forever changed.
On Finding Your Roots, Wes Studi.
I'd say things like, I don't have a dad.
And LeVar Burton.
You grow up just with the blanks.
Trauma on the Trail of Tears.
I know it's got to be painful.
We've lived with that pain for a long time.
And a shocking family discovery.
What?
Yeah.
Kunta!
Kunta.
Got white ancestry. Yeah.
Tune in April 30th at 8 p.m. on WTJX-TV Channel 12.
And we're back here, analyze this, wrapping up a great conversation with former senator, five-term senator from the District of St. Thomas, St. John Carlton Eitel. Thou now, forever, again, it goes on and on. Rocky, you wanted to make a final comment before I wrap up the conversation? Rocky Laybon.
No, yeah,
go ahead.
Yeah,
go ahead.
No, I was saying to Director Thou that our negotiations started in the 24th. Because remember, Neville, you wasn't there, but we had a press conference in a few minutes, and everybody wanted to switch. Nobody wanted to go there. Everybody canceled, you know. I remember one time, I turned over the chair to somebody. They'll tell me, "Mr. Son, you better come back in there, you know. This ain't going right." so he had a taste of all of that.
If I can recall, I was on WSTX at the time. Remember, I had the thing with Norma Samuel and Jean Baptiste earlier. Yeah.
That's why Doug Scal why the anchor. Make no mistake. In that institution, in that university by itself.
Doug.
I just wanted to highlight on the 24th legislature. I mean, in harsh closeness, is everything is not right. You got to be close. But we were almost. Got the money back for the excise tax.
With Bill Thomas.
That was the negotiation again. That was a part of that too.
With Bill Thomas and the Ways and Means Committee, right, Rocky?
That's right.
Let me ask this question. One of my listeners, Colin, the disabled, right? They got some issue with planes right now and all that stuff. What are we doing now to address that? And that is definitely incorporated into the jet bridge development and all that stuff.
That's the future. But what the Port Authority, we spend in excess of $160,000 buying new lifts. Temporarily. And the airlines now, American has invested in their own lift.
Okay.
And hopefully...
What about the smaller planes like the Silver Airways and all that stuff? How do we go about facilitating that? Because there's been some incidents and all that stuff that take place.
The airline is responsible for their own lift.
The airline is responsible for their own lift.
And getting their passengers.
How's the flight of whale thing working out and all that stuff?
Excellent. Okay. They've been expanded. And the Port Authority has allowed them 1 year, I think it's for 1 year, they get certain exemptions from landing fees and all these things. That's another thing that our board did. Frontier going to start from St. Croix in May.
Okay.
They're going to be flying to Puerto Rico and also to Orlando.
All right.
When they do that, it's because, because tourism had went out, do their thing.
Mm-hmm.
We have provided to our governing body to afford them an incentive to come. Now, we could do these things and hope people come.
Mm-hmm.
So they would pay us just a percent maybe on the operational fees. We waive the landing fees for a portion of time. And but at some point,
this constant negotiation you're dealing with other entities.
That's what it is.
Yeah, Rocky.
The one thing I must say, you guys, they move on is when you fly Delta now, instead of those stairs, the system that they have now is the closest thing to JetWay. And if you could do that for all the airlines, I think you make a big improvement.
The reason why you can't do that, Senator Leibert, for all the airlines is because of the different equipment in which they fly. So all of them have different equipment. But, so Delta brought that in.
But what about the smaller airlines? Like, I know
correct.
Yeah. But I know we tend to focus on the big jets. But what about the smaller airlines? Can't you sit with them in like a group setting? And get some feedback from them as to their hardships. They might have hardships in finding the right kind of infrastructure from a lift standpoint. So what can we do to help them? Because the disabled and those are traveling, and they deal with the commuter airlines, the small travel. The 40 minute, 75 minute travel between here, Puerto Rico, what have you. How do we go about that?
We know that at some point, Silver used to have their own lift.
Yeah.
That's something I'd have to really press and look into.
Yeah. Now, okay, look, we got a problem with Silver is C1, right?
Yeah, C1.
We got a problem with them, right? But don't forget, we hook them up early on and then they kind of choke. We I know it's a whole different management group and all that stuff. No, but we got to keep them honest and let them know, look, man, one of the reasons, for example, I'm going to give a classic example. One of the reasons why people are skeptical about deals, in particular on St. Croix, because folks promise a lot on the front end, and then they don't deliver.
It depends on who they're dealing with.
Exactly.
You know and Carlton Dow, for the record, I got in big trouble because I was saying to the cruise ship, you can't take as much passengers as you want from our dock to take them on a water tour and pay. You know what they were paying? They were paying the Port Authority before our board changed that. 60 cents a foot. So you have a vessel come in, pick up tourists from our docks, the Port Authority docks, and they could go and come as much time as they want for the day. So do you take the Contiki going with 300 passengers, and all they were paying us for that day is 60 cents a foot. You see what I'm saying? So
they want the passenger fee?
Yeah. We were instituting a fee that when they go on the water to like the dive tour and all of this stuff and go on the water, when they leave in our dock, they need to pay us a portion of money for that.
Okay.
Because these things that have to be maintained.
No, but I'm just asking.
I get in big trouble.
A listener is talking about a personal situation, right, where we're dealing with the smaller airlines. They're dealing with getting from the wheelchair up into the plane and all that stuff. So I just want for some type of communication to be exchanged with them to see what we could do to facilitate that.
We'll
because we got commuter jets that are not the big planes.
Correct.
They don't have access. They don't have the room.
We do that. We will do that.
Okay. I appreciate that. One thing I want to ask you, the Tobalmo head, we got a dock in St. Thomas. You mentioned that
not
one.
Not in St. Thomas.
No.
St.
John, I mean. What's the name of the port in the
dock? Laredon Boyne is the Cruise Bay facility.
Yeah.
And the Moorhead facility,
is where
the barge is going.
That's where the bar is going.
Correct.
So that's where people drive on cars and all
correct.
That stuff.
Correct.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. And that's Tobalmo Head. We didn't mean that's a former senator and all that stuff, right? What's the facility? What's the deal with the infrastructure over there? Everything good over there?
Yeah, for the most part.
I don't know.
The problem over there is, I would say, some of the derelict vessels where we fight every day with them to move. People go away, buy a badge. The badge never walk in their life. They park it up there. You know, but it's a pretty good facility. That's down there where we're looking to do the community facility.
Okay,
we're doing the drawings on that right now.
Mm-hmm.
And we're able to utilize some monies that were legislated from the St. John Capital Improvement Fund to do the design for that project.
Okay, that's good. Yeah. That's good.
Because the fact of the matter, the festival and all of that have outgrown the area in which it is being held now.
Director Carlton, I want to thank you very much for joining us this morning. good luck with the P3 venture, right? And this is a Port Authority deal. This was not a legislatively mandated deal, right? So I want the public to come. One of my listeners.
The governor appointed members of the board. Fact. And he have his cabinet. So we've been in the business, like Rocky said, from the 24th.
Mm-hmm.
So I know one of the first thing I had to do is get Governor Albert Bryan to buy in.
Mm-hmm.
So that was probably one of the first meeting And he thought it was...
But I didn't realize that the P3 venture in Puerto Rico was really about generating revenue for Puerto Rico.
Correct.
And their financial issues. So that's a different... That's a whole different approach.
Yes.
And all that stuff. But that's good as well. Good luck going forward. And you said shovels in the ground, hopefully, by midsummer 2025?
That's what I would hope.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm Rocky. Just messing with him, man.
Nabil.
Yeah.
Nabil.
Yeah.
Listen, at the Calypso show, you should see Dow making the moves. You know what he's telling you?
What he telling me?
I've been in port in every island at one time.
Rocky, I think we should end now.
Well, you know what's coming after that?
Don't get me no trouble, Rocky.
Are you suggesting that Dow is embracing a Randy Lugo approach when he's going to public events and all that stuff, man? Touching the flesh. You know Randy Lugo was the best at working the room, right?
Yeah. The truth is, yeah. Rocky knows that myself are white and Doc never miss a Calypso show.
And Rocky. Hey, thanks a lot, man. Appreciate it.
I really appreciate it.
Go ahead.
I also know that the show leaves a lot of other things too.
Rocky, have a good day,
stop choking people so early in the morning. Done with it.
But what I want to say, Neville, yeah. I take this so serious that this is like the fifth radio program I've been on.
I know, because
I want to make sure.
My mother got a
transistor.
No, she got love affair with that station for Peter Attlee, man.
Oh yeah,
that Lucky 13. Listen, and we'll be now with Roosevelt. Couple tall days
Neville,
back, man.
Neville, listen, while you say that, right? Yeah. My mother passed away now, right?
Yeah.
And my mother always, when you walk in a house, she never turned that station.
She liked that Lucky.
WSJ, she liked that Lucky.
Whatever
Addy said was gospel.
Yeah, man. My mom's loved that Lucky 13.
I really want to make sure that the entire community is not going to be for the lack of us being transparent or reaching out to the public.
Yeah.
And their input and feedback is very valuable.
No, that's good, man.
Because we continue to negotiate.
Make the rounds, and I appreciate you did it in person as well.
That's why I didn't want to be on no phone.
Yeah, so tell Matt, I want you to know, Maddie did a good job.
Yeah.
She applied the whip. She applied the whip.
That's why she was with me at the legislature.
I know. She did a good job. Thanks a lot, man.
Get it done, though.
Yeah, man.
Yo,
to Von Hodges, who tell me about it, but I'm going to leave that for another day.
That's the real political.
That's the man.
That's the man.
Yo, I could have never imagined he liked politics as much as he did. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. He loves his politics.
Right behind the scene, boy. Much never used to happen without him.
I know. Thanks a lot.
I really appreciate you and the folks at the station. Very welcoming.
They make everything comfortable. It's an easy gig for me, man. Thanks a lot. Appreciate that.
Goodbye.
Yeah, thanks a lot. That's Carlton Itell Dow, director of the Virgin Islands Port Authority, making his rounds. The PE venture is happening and it's real. We're looking forward for real fruit, bearing positive fruit going forward. Gentlemen, we got a couple of minutes left. I want to say to Ayo, man. Hey, Ducks.
Yeah.
Hey, Rocky.
Yeah.
It's Carnival, baby. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah.
This is our thing, man. And we got to always protect and preserve our culture. And Carnival, the celebration in St. John, the fiesta, the festival in St. Croix, them is our wars, like I just say. And we got to protect it and promote it. Yeah.
I just to wrap up, the Carnival, the tourism department to put down Carnival, had a novelty this weekend. You had to pay to come into the Calypso show.
Uh-huh.
And it was held in the Christian parking lot in the village. And we had a good turnout. So I don't know if that is...
No, they said about 400 people show out. So you could do the math and you raise a little money. Do a little something. Ain't nothing wrong with that.
It had more than 400 people. They're talking like Louis Abel with the Million Man March. You come up one man shot and you put a black eye on us. No, that more than that.
Yeah, that's good news, man. Maybe the person want to be conservative.
They want to put a blind eye on it. But like I said, that was the first time the Carnival Committee had a paid event in them. So
That might be a sign of things to come, Neville.
Without a doubt. Hey, Rocky, tell me about John Gotti. Tell me about John Gotti, man. Tell me about he from St. John, they say. Tell me about he.
It was the inflation.
But wait, man. How they allow a Calypsonian to name himself John Gotti, man? Oh, gosh, man. Come on, man. Hey, John Gotti, I know that, you know, gangsterism, right, is attractive in many ways, but be careful with that one there, man. Serious, man.
Be careful, John Gotti, or that's what Calypsonians are, hitman, you know, the Calypsonian and become hitman.
Number one, you know. Big tune from back in the day. Yeah, Rocky.
Yeah, listen, John Gotti had a song called Jack Say. But it's taken from Bible. Right, you asked it. It was from Ibo. Ibo's clever with the words. That's what he actually says. He set up the table with them. You say, really, some jackass.
Inflated?
No, inflated.
Inflated was the one with the girl, right. Okay.
Yeah, because you know, some girls today, you see them walk out and they look flat. Next week, they come back.
But wait.
You know, that's the same person. You know what I mean?
But check this out. Was John Gotti a deserving winner, or did we have controversy?
I believe there might be controversy. Neville, when you go to a competition and the judging is subjective,
yeah,
right? How I see it and how somebody else see it
ain't guaranteed to be the same. Correct.
Ain't guaranteed to be the same. So some people are going to be disappointed.
Yeah.
You know, I personally, if I was judging, I would have had a different outcome. But
it don't matter. You know, yeah, it don't matter. Yeah, it don't matter.
I wasn't in it. The judges' decision is final.
Final, yeah.
Just final.
Yeah.
Let me say this.
Real quick. We got 20 seconds. Real quick.
Yeah, the festival committee, you know, there's some things that not so good. But for the most part, to me, they've been doing a pretty decent job.
That's good. So let me give them the flowers now. Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Really. Yeah. Hey, man. Hey, great show today. Thanks for hosting. I tell that with me today. I appreciate it from both of you guys, all right?
Every time.
Big every time. Hitman number one. You know what I'm saying? So we go to that. Hey, gentlemen, thanks a lot. Great table talk this morning. Lucy LaMada, I love you. Good looking out today, okay? Be good and be safe. Talk to you guys tomorrow. Bye-bye.
The views and opinions expressed on Analyze This are entirely those of the on-air participants and do not reflect those of the station's board, management, staff, or underwriters.
Hi, I'm Peter Sagal. You spent the week listening to the news. Don't you think you deserve to show off what you've learned on Wait, we give you a chance to impress your friends with your knowledge of international incidents, political gaffes, and the latest advancement in German nudists. You'll be the life of the party. Or the death. Either way, you'll make an impression and you can thank Wait, Don't Tell Me from NPR.
Saturdays at 1 p.m. and Sundays at 2 p.m. right here on WTJX FM 93.1, your NPR station in the Virgin Islands.
He said that black smoke was constantly coming out of the burn pits 24/7. And my reaction to it was like, wow, that doesn't sound very safe. Wonder what that's about. And in my mind, I couldn't imagine at the time that type of system operating could potentially harm our service members.
Journalism that seeks and reveals. That's On Point with me, Meghna Chakrabarty.
Weekdays at 1 p.m. on WTJX FM 93.1, your NPR station in the Virgin Islands.